On today's episode of the Live Free in Ham podcast, we'll continue our series on the role of a technician in ham radio. Specifically, we'll explore whether digital FM modes can be considered real radio. Welcome to Live Free in Ham podcast. It's our bi-weekly show, covers everything related to ham radio in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. Welcome, and if this is your first time listener or your returning one, we appreciate you listening to us. If you enjoyed any of our content, we kindly ask for your support by leaving a review on iTunes or your preferred podcast platform. Your feedback does mean a lot to us, and it helps promote the show. For those that wish to financially support our podcast, we have a Patreon and a Buy Me Coffee link available on our website. And as always, you can visit our website at livefreeinham.com, catch up on past episodes, browse our latest merch, and follow all of our social media accounts. And again, from all the hosts, we thank you for your continued support as always. So let's get into today's show. I'm your host, Eric, or one of the hosts, I should say, call sign N1JUR, and I'm joined by...
Yeah, my name is Ryan, call sign W1SNH.
And I'm Todd, call sign W1STJ.
I'm sure we've all been busy. I know we've had to shift this recording date around a couple of times just because our lives have just been... overwhelming us, but what have you guys been doing ham radio wise?
Well, it's mostly one thing I've been doing, which is a lot of fun, is hunting POTUS. And that's been a lot of great fun. So spinning the antenna around and kind of figuring out who I can pull in and working them and moving on to the next one. And so that's it's always a lot of good fun.
Loving the hunting.
Yep.
Yeah, I've been watching FedEx and waiting for my equipment to arrive. Yeah, that's what I've been doing, ham radio. I haven't done much, just talking on the repeater. I haven't had a lot of time to get on the HF bands, but I'm hoping once I get my flex, that'll give me some more opportunities because I'm not always in the shack and I always have this downtime. So, and I'm looking forward to going out. I'm going to Mississippi on Wednesday and I plan to activate my third park down there, hopefully.
Sweet. Ryan will be on, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
if I happen to get my radio up in my shack, we'll hopefully, I've been getting the itch again. I got to go out and hook up that antenna secretly and bury the cable. But I was in the midst of tearing it out of the shack here to let another fellow ham, give it a shot to test it out. He's been testing a couple of different radios to figure out which one he wants to buy. But my week for ham radio has been sort of like Todd's. I haven't been waiting for FedEx, although I wouldn't mind. But my dad's been in hospital for knee surgery, and I've been, talking with him on ham radio for the couple of local repeaters where he's at and, let him borrow my HT that doesn't get so much use. So, light radio, not a whole lot. I've been itching to get out and do POTA myself, but I just, too much going on and not enough time to really kind of just enjoy it or putting something together. So, I'm hopeful that next week, we'll have a little bit more time to play radio for sure. All right. Well, so, we've been already plugging away at this, talking and starting this series out with, what it means to be a technician, kind of exploring the avenues of, what technician license can give you. And so this week we're kind of diving into the digital side of ham radio. We talked to analog, a little repeaters, hopefully gave you a lot of good suggestions to how to get plugged into the hobby and start, using your newly minted, technician license. But this week we're going to talk about digital modes, and this primarily focuses on the 2 meter, 70 centimeter FM digital modes that we talk about. Some of them are fusion, DMR, D-Star. If all of those ring a bell or it's just something new to you, we'll try to kind of encompass a little generalized coverage of what those mean and how and what they can do to benefit you. But ultimately, we really just kind of want to just do a high level set of that. And then, we're going to talk a little bit about our experiences. What have we done in the hobby with the mode and share some of the stuff that we've, experienced using those modes. And then, we're going to talk about the taboo topic. I'm sure, if you've been a technician for a while, you've had a conversation with, maybe an older Elmer or someone else in the club. And the conversation came up while saying that, you know, digital modes, they aren't real radio, that type of thing. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about that and see, you know, kind of what our thoughts are. And, you know, hopefully we'll spark a little bit of conversation with you guys and, you know, we can keep the thread going on our Discord. So let's kind of frame this out a little bit. If you've never dealt with the digital side of, you know, your technician license, and we're talking, you know, those modes that we mentioned earlier, let's kind of just do a quick frame out of what is digital. And so for those that are used to analog and analog repeaters and using, you know, those type of modes, I mean, all really digital is, you know, the method and how we're delivering, you know, our voice through the radio to over RF to another, you know, repeater or another device. And then beyond that, you can kind of take it to the level of, you know, now transmitting that information across the internet and to other locations around the world and talking to other hams in other locations. So digital kind of has exploded for, you know, a bit. When I got into the hobby, a lot of it was, you know, pretty exciting to see and be a part of, because I could now talk to, you know, France or Italy or Germany or any of those, you know, locations just by keying up my small little HT into, you know, a local repeater that might have a digital mode running, or, you know, buy a little add-on device and, you know, boom, you're now up and running on your shack and using all those modes. So, you know, from you guys, where have you, you know, what has your experience been with the digital modes and playing around with them when you started in the hobby, and kind of, you know, share a little bit about those experiences and what modes you might have played with?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember specifically when I was a technician, I was at the local candy store, and, you know, I wanted to upgrade the Baofeng. I wanted to get a fancier radio. And instead of at that point getting a dual mode, you know, analog digital HT, I ended up getting a mobile unit for the car. And the person at the candy store gave me some good advice. He's like, well, around here in New England, the predominant digital mode is Yaesu Fusion. Versus if you were, say, in the Mid-Atlantic or down in Florida or, you know, New Mexico or, you know, the LA Basin, you know, there might be a group of repeaters or clubs that run something else, D-Link, DMR, you know, whatever the case. And so you may, that would definitely influence which brand you buy. You know, you may want to put a ICOM mobile in your car versus a Yaesu. But for our area, he, and right, correctly so, advised me to get the Yaesu, which I did. So predominantly for me, it's been a Fusion networks and Fusion net chats. So it's been great. You know, there's several of them around the area. And over the past 3-4 years here, I've connected with many of them. But that's the direction I've gone. I do own a radio capable of D-Link, but have done very little with it. So,
cool. How about you, Todd? Great.
Yeah, I'm a Fusion guy. I didn't really know when I became a technician. All I know is I got my Yaesu 70, I think that's what it was, and it was digital. And I didn't know. I just thought digital was better than analog. I knew nothing. I'm like, oh, if it's analog and digital, it's got to be better, right? So once I got it, you know, I did the same thing. I got onto some local nets and figured out what it was. And the repeater I used was the Goffstown repeater, and that was hooked up to the Fusion and the internet, and I figured out a way to change the to what link it was on, so I could remotely change it to like America's link, but it's basically on the Wolfpack for most of the time. So that's where I started going on nets and stuff. They have a Friday net every Friday. I think it's at 8:30. And it's a pretty big net, and we get people from all over the place. One time they even got the Yaesu guys from Japan join that net, so that was pretty cool. But, you know, and then the other time I use digital is on our repeater. We have a Yaesu on our club repeater, and Eric and I sometimes will be getting scratcher at a range, and we'll just switch it over to digital just to, so we can understand each other. So that's another positive thing on it, but that we don't have internet on that one. So that one's just using the digital mode.
Right. Yeah. And it's kind of funny. I kind of in the same camp as you guys. I mean, I've way before, you know, we kind of met and been a club. And when I first got my ticket, I had a Yaesu FT-470. And if anybody knows what that looks like, that was when their first dual band radio came out. And it was like literally 18 inches long from the point of where you connect the antenna to the bottom of the battery. And it was, you know, it was a beast in terms of carrying it around, but it didn't have any digital modes. The only thing that was really available at the time for me was what we call ILRP, IRLP, Internet Relay Linking, you know, protocol, or what we now sort of know today as Echolink. And so me being a computer geek, I was like, dude, oh, Echolink, awesome. Well, you know, we can just install a Windows program and, you know, get on the internet. And Echolink at the time was really only just like peer-to-peer for me. And it was very rudimentary in terms of how you connected to people. It wasn't like a vast network. And nobody was doing anything, you know, connecting Echolink to any of the repeaters. So, you know, fast forward, I come on the scene, you know, in the past 3 years. And all of a sudden, it's like Echolink is like the norm. And, you know, if you don't have it connected to a repeater, you can't, you know, connect. And the protocols themselves, I really haven't, and I'm a lot like you guys, I really haven't been outside of the Fusion camp because, I mean, you know, I love Yaesus no matter how much I complain about them sometimes or, you know, wish that they would improve their, you know, feature set. But they've always been just kind of the mode I've always, you know, radio I've always used, manufacturer I've always used and loved. So yeah, Fusion was kind of where I went. And so when I dove into the Fusion, like Todd did, you'd find repeaters that would have that and you try to connect to it and, you know, see how far you could get by pressing that little wires X button on the radio that, you know, you don't know what it does. And you read the manual and it gives you this, you know, open world to, you know, talking to different people and, you know, from coast to coast or worldwide. So it's pretty cool. Now, with your experience with, you know, we'll use Fusion as an example since all of us kind of play around. What, like, do you feel like it was an easy turnkey kind of solution? Because there's obviously other modes that are, you know, are digital as well that we all have heard or you may have heard or watched YouTube videos on. Do you find that Fusion is pretty straightforward and pretty easy to, you know, use and play with?
I would say yes. I mean, it's pretty straightforward, especially being near several repeaters that have it available. So good signal into the repeater, good connection, and there's a lot of activity to test it out and, you know, see how it works. You know, and that's how I learned best, you know, is by playing around with it, you know, breaking it, fixing it, yeah, figuring out.
Tear it all apart, put a dead TV back together again, hopefully.
Yeah, so, and that's the same thing with me. You know, I turned on my radio and I had to look up and see which was digital ones. And I put the analog ones in and then I looked for the digital. And then some of these repeaters will do both like ours. And Goffstown does the same thing. So I figured out how to way to put it on automatic. So if it's a regular digital station, it'll switch to analog and vice versa. So that way, if someone's calling on our repeater in digital mode, I'll have my radio will turn over to digital automatically and I'll be able to hear them. And if they go back to analog, or someone goes back to analog, it'll just pick it up on analog. So it works either way. And I also find that in digital, you know, you sound a lot different. You kind of have the same kind of, you can almost tell, but it's definitely different than just straight analog.
Now that's actually a good segue on that. It's like, obviously all the digital modes in some form or fashion based off of all of the back end stuff that we won't go into in this session. Most of them all sound sort of compressed. Is that kind of the general consensus?
Yep. You can definitely tell when you're, listening to digital. Yeah. Definitely compressed.
And prefer to like it and don't like it?
But I don't mind it. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, just, it, it's a similar, it's a familiar tone, I would say.
Okay. So you definitely can obviously discern what it sounds like versus a regular analog, you know, transmission and whatnot.
Absolutely.
Now, funny thing with Fusion, Todd, you kind of sort of alluded to where you were getting into some of their rooms and stuff like that. Have you gone beyond just like doing just America Link in general or dabbling in some of the nets with Wolfpack or?
No, not really. I did America Link just because I just wanted to talk to people and no one was on the radio. So I started messing around with it and I figured out and then I started talking to people. I actually talked to Carlos, High Velocity, the parachute. Uh-oh.
KD9 Yep.
Yeah.
Terminal Velocity is YouTube.
What'd you say?
Terminal Velocity is
YouTube. Terminal Velocity. Yeah, it's awesome. He parachutes and makes contacts. So I actually was on and I was in the car and I changed it over in the car on the Goffstown repeater, and it was America's Link, and he was on, and him and I had a nice QSO, and he's hoping to, he's got like a bucket list of airfields he wants to jump out of, airplanes out of, and make contact. So I said, well, in Pepperell, Mass, which is right next to, right on the border, that's one of his on his list. So he's at some point going to be down here jumping out and calling CQ from 10,000 feet.
That's awesome.
Can we do a podcast from 10,000 feet? Is that possible?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe.
But yeah, I don't, you know, and I did a little, I helped Tom, who has the repeater at our house, AC1J. He, him and I did a lot of testing on digital on our own repeater. He would switch back and forth, and he wanted to hear how I sound and how far I could go out. I know when I go out towards Brookline and stuff, I start losing the repeater, and as soon as you switch to digital, it gets me another extra 15 miles, I think.
Wow. Mm.
But the thing with digital too is like it just goes away. It doesn't have that like that fading. It's like you either have it or you don't. There's no in between.
Yeah, it's interesting. So how about you, Ryan? I mean, so you get a chance to dabble in any of their, like, we'll call the underbelly of, you know, fusion. It's not really underbelly, but in essence, it's, you know, that kind of world that not a lot of us get involved in.
In some ways, it's kind of overwhelming. So, I mean, there's just so many different rooms and groups, and which one should you connect to, and which one's active, and which one has, you know, similar likes. So, well, first, while you're actively driving or trying to connect to one, you know, that's one thing. After I had the digital mobile radio in the car, I ended up going with a hotspot at home.
Okay.
And my first one was I got a hat that I put onto the Raspberry Pi and put Pi Star on. And that you can run, you know, wide range of digital modes on it. But, you know, I spooled up Fusion. And connected, and so that actually helped a little bit, because then, you know, you had a menu pull down and you could see various, you know, categories on the computer screen and sort through it easier, I thought.
Yeah.
And then then you can use the handheld on a low wattage on you know, 440 all around the house, so that allowed it to you know, switch up operating locations quite a bit. So
now, here's some of my question to you. Is now that you had that hat capability, how much did you pick up the HT to actually use the mode? Were you pretty, you know, active with it, or was you just kind of try it a couple of times and it just, you know, went over the corner like a lot of my projects?
It's hot and cold. I'd say definitely in the wintertime when I'm sitting in the shack more often,
yeah,
I'll pick up the HTs more.
Okay, interesting. Like, my experience kind of with it has been, We'll use your term, Ryan, hot or cold. Like, I've taken my HT and gone on. I have a hotspot too as well, Pi Star hotspot. And to be honest, I set it all up and I was like, okay, this is a piece of cake because my background's in that field, you know, that area. So setting something like Pi Star up is a, you know, kind of a day-to-day occurrence. So when I started connecting to a lot of the nodes and a lot of the rooms and Fusion or whatnot, that I found the same thing I see today on a lot of our analog repeaters. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but when we get on an analog repeater these days, unless you're really active machine, because the, you know, the community there wants to be active, 9 times out of 10, you'll hear someone, this is N1J, you are listening. And then that's it. And a lot of things like for America Link or any of like the big, you know, kind of rooms that I would connect to, there would always be there would be someone throw out their call, someone respond to them. They'd say, hey, how's the weather? And I'm running XYZ radio. And then, oh, I got to get clear of the frequency because I don't want to tie this up. And that was always the line that I heard every time. And there wasn't really like the active conversation that you would expect. And I understand the need for, you know, creating space for opportunity for other people to connect. But shortly after you hear that conversation, it's dead for like 3 hours. You're like, you could have been, you know, conversing and allowing other people to come in. You know, has that been your experience in sort of playing around with it, either Todd or Ryan?
I'd say yes and no. One really nice feature about digital modes is whenever you key the mic, your call sign pops up on the screen.
Right.
That, I mean, as a visual learner, that's very good for just even the read back on calling them back on the frequency. So bonus points on the digital for that. But I would say a few of the groups that I have programmed in, I'm looking over at the small little screen that's so on the Pi Star, there's if anyone keys up the mic on that specific group, it'll show their call sign and it's slick. So I can see, oh, he just, PTT'd the group. So it's always flashing at me. So I do see a lot of activity on it. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of me now just turning the HT on and hearing what they're saying.
Right. Right.
So,
yeah, it's funny because you got a comment, Todd, at all about the, you know, your experience with AmericaLink. Okay. All right. So I would say, it's very interesting because that's kind of where I started. And when I was fooling around getting back into the hobby, that's kind of where I was, you know, trying to use with repeaters. And then I realized that it was a taboo that you shouldn't be using repeaters always to be able to engage those rooms because it ties up the repeater for whatever reason. I don't know. So I kind of just, you know, did like everybody else did, got a hotspot or built a hotspot and connected to those rooms and started playing around. But then my experience was sort of the same thing that I was, you know, experiencing in the repeaters. Now, the benefit to that was like I got to experience and talk to hams outside of, you know, my general regional area, which was awesome. And when I got that one or two people to have a further conversation outside of what's the weather and what you're doing with your radio, it made the experience that much more enriched. But I think those are the same people that kind of, you know, felt the same way. It's like, well, we have this resource, let's start using it. I think one of the things where, you know, that fell short with the digital modes for me is as I started to get excited about it and trying to get people on board to do it more, the response came back as, oh, digital modes. Well, you know, I really like analog. Analog sounds so much better. It's more real, you know, it's more real radio. And I'm like, it kind of like dumbfounded me. And I just kind of sat there and went, yeah, well, it sounds different. But that's no different than, you know, someone who's CW only to voice. I mean, you know, have you guys ever ran into any of those experiences at all?
Well, originally you'd ask the question or pose the question of, you know, is digital real HF?
Oh,
is it real ham radio? I would say yes. The hobby started off with a CW, and it's still a great, great mode, you know, very interactive. And, you know, it's the original way to communicate there. Then came sideband and then started all the other various modes. It's not, you don't have to drop CW or drop sideband to use digital. It's just another option now.
Right.
And I think we're 100 plus years later, much better off because we have many options to choose from. And you can play with, you know, on the weekends digital and during the day, weekdays HF, you know, or not HF, but sideband. So, you know, it's, we definitely have the options now, and I think we're much better off with it.
Cool.
No, I agree. I think, you know, I don't think anything that you can do in this hobby, if you're into doing these, you know, going into these rooms and talking to people around the world, using the digital modes and through the internet, I mean, I'm say all for it. I mean, it's all about communicating, right? It's like you said, Ryan, I think you said it's all about people. So we're, you know, that's what it is. It's communicating with different people. And if people want to get together in a room and have a conversation, I don't see it being a problem at all. I mean, right now we do with digital and kind of work and Zoom and meetings and stuff. There's a lot of different ways to communicate. And it's just one of our ways. I don't mind being on digital. I don't mind hopping in on AmericaLink. There's always some good nets that are on. You can pick up, there's some learning things. I know that New England has a Fusion. I think it's Sundays at 3 is a Fusion Tech Night or Tech Net. That's what it is, a Tech Net. And they talk basically anything to do with Fusion, whether it be going into rooms, whether it be just a digital mode, whether it just be nets or just technical stuff. And basically net control brings up a topic and people ask questions and you get a lot of things answered. And if you don't know anything, you can put a question in and the next week they'll probably have an answer for you. So it's a lot of cool things you can do. And like I said, I'm not a super, like, I'm not like, oh, I have to have digital, but I'm glad I have it. You know, I'm glad I use the Yaesu, because I agree with you, Ryan, that it seems to be the main, there's a lot of repeaters that actually have it. I actually found out the Norwood repeater. I don't know if you guys ever go on that one, but I can barely make it from my house. But when they go digital, they talk on digital all the time. It comes booming in. So they're one of them that I have on both modes that it'll just switch over to digital. So there's some guys up out there that will pick up some digital stuff. So
very cool. The question for you guys, where online do you go to search for the nets or the information, various rooms, and gather the information so you can join them?
Well, you could probably start there, Tiger, because I know you've done a lot more of the digital nets than I have. But
well, yeah. So Yaesu's website has a whole list of all the rooms. And then you can also go, you know, sometimes you can just go on and just Google, you know, Yaesu Fusion nets, and there'll be a whole list of them. I find them sometimes. What's the thing that we use? The net logger.
Yep.
So you'll go on there and sometimes you'll see, like, it'll say Yaesu Fusion and it'll say the room. So I've seen a couple on them. And so sometimes I'll go on Netlogger, just see what's happening. And if there's one of those, you can try to hop onto them. And then when you're on the nets, like on the Wolfpack, we get guys from, like, we have a husband and a wife from Minnesota that come on all the time. They're regulars. So they'll talk about their Fusion nets. And we have a couple guys from Canada that try to get us to go on their nets, but in the one Yaesu, that there's a whole list of them, and there's hundreds of them, and some, yeah. I don't know how I know America's Link is probably the most popular one. There's a couple in Texas that are really big. I think it's called Nexus Texas or Texas Nexus or
Texas Nexus. Yeah,
that's another big room with a lot of activity. But you know, you can also create your own room. And yes, you could have your own private room and have a bunch of people from all, you know, your friends from all over can get in there and have a queue. So just using your own private room. So it's kind of cool.
I think for me, the nets, I haven't really been a big net guy. And, you know, it's not so much that I don't like doing them and I don't like being a part of them. But the one that's kind of attracted me the most is that, and we didn't really mention this mode, and I'm not going to try to get into too deep, but if you just Google All-Star or All-Star node, you can find out more about this mode. It's kind of a trade-off for me, and the benefit to it is it's more analog and uses the existing resources that we have today in the analog world, but it's got the combination of digital. And all that was being said was the fact that the capabilities with All-Star gave me my new life to a lot of my analog HTs. So the ones that I, you know, just didn't have digital modes, didn't do anything, you know, all of a sudden, you know, now I was able to use this to connect to a, you know, pseudo hotspot that I had, similar like my Pi Star, and be able to now talk, you know, over the analog ways and the old methods of, you know, how we communicate with repeaters, and connect to what we call the biggest, I think it's actually the biggest probably, is the East Coast Reflector. And so if you've never seen it, go Google eastcoastreflector.com. You know, they have thousands, and I mean thousands of people all connecting into this node. And they run a coffee net every morning, and it's called Morning Brew. And it's pretty fun. And it's like, you know, they've run it really well. It's a really well-oiled net. And it's fun because I can get in at any time, and their net control operators rotate every half an hour. So you never really have the same codgy old person, you know, running, you know, that style net, because you get something fresh every time. And, you know, it's always the typical, you know, traditional net. It's like, hey, we're going to pose a question, you know, do you want to answer it or you just want to check in? And they, you know, they have opportunities for the whole process. So for me, it's always been, that's been an exciting part to join in. But it's more so that I'm joining in and contributing to the digital community. And I think the consensus is kind of what we're all getting at. It's like, don't be afraid to get out to those modes and try them and connect into the, you know, to whatever, whether it's All Star or America Link or the East Coast Reflector or a private room. Don't be afraid to use it because it's there and available to us. And so we should be doing it with the purpose that, you know, if we don't do it, we lose it. You know, that's kind of been my attitude with it.
Yeah, very cool. I do like the All Star, especially being able to use a basic FM HT. You know, you don't need the more expensive digital ones.
Right.
And you can go FM RF straight to the stubby little 2-inch tall antenna on top of that Raspberry Pi and get on the internet.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Even some regular repeaters have All Star backends, and you know, you don't have to change anything on your end except just maybe your antenna to get to the repeater if that's, you know, a big thing of yours. But so we kind of talked about, you know, a little bit or touched upon it a little bit. I think one of the things that comes up with the new modes or new ways of doing, you know, ham radio, and it, as you find in this hobby, is that it'll evolve and it will change and new things will come in. And a quick example is, if you haven't seen what's out there yet, but free data is the new mode. If you haven't Googled it, you know, Google it, go YouTube it. It's a new mode that's out there. But all that was to be said that is that ham radio is always being changed and evolved and added to and improved upon. And, you know, don't give up with it. But what I'm trying to allude to is that a lot of times you'll come into the hobby and you might have a bad experience, and that bad experience could be like, you're all excited about digital. You've already tried it. You've already done it. You know, you're like, oh, really? I want to find other people that do this and keep, you know, that spark alive. And then you run into somebody and they're like, oh, digital. Well, that's not real radio. That's over the internet. You know, what would you say to that new ham or that technician that's been totally excited about the hobby and playing around these digital modes? And, you know, someone says to them, you know, well, you're not doing real ham radio. Well, you know, what would be your response to them, and how would you, you know, frame it?
Well, I'd correct them and say it's definitely is real ham radio, because in order to use it or to participate with it, you need to have a HT in your hand or a mobile digital radio in your car. So you've just made an investment into that hardware. And it's just another option that it offers you to connect with people. So definitely investigate it, learn how it works, find that specific net or chat group that you like connecting with, and run with it.
Yeah, I would, I like to use analogies, and I would, I'd go back to my other hobby, my RC flying. You know, you can just put a plane in with no technology in it and just go out and fly it. And you can also get a plane that will basically adjust for wind and balance and basically land itself, or these drones that will basically just stop when you let go of the things and just hover there. And I think it's all good, because I think it gets people into the hobby. It gets people communicating. But with the planes, if you don't like to do all that technology stuff, with the technology, you can turn it all off with a flick of a switch. Mm-hmm. And I have some planes that are very basic that you have to like manually fly. And then I have other ones that are better in windy days. They'll keep it flying straight. And I think it's with the ham radio. I mean, if you want to get on digital modes and you have a technician license, it gives you an opportunity to get out of your local area and talk to people farther away. And as you get your licenses upgrade and you get into HF, now you're talking, antenna to antenna, you know, over long distances, and you might like that. And then there's FT8 in the, you know, HF your stuff, which is
right.
Well, right. I mean, so it is, I mean, and again, I don't think there's any right or wrong or what is or not ham radio. I think if you're doing something that uses your license and you're on the frequency that you're licensed to use and you're communicating, then it's all good to me. So I'm not one of these guys that says this is ham radio, this isn't ham radio, that's not real ham radio, or you need CW. I mean, if I had to get CW to get my license, I probably wouldn't be a ham right now. Now, it is on my to-do list. Someday I want to be able to do CW and at least make a contact, right? I envy KC1QDK, Tim, for all the efforts and him really trying. And, you know, everywhere he goes, he's trying to make his contacts. So good for him, though. But you know what I mean? It's I think it's all whatever people want to do. And no ham or anyone in this hobby should discourage someone from trying something new or doing something. I just think it doesn't go well for the hobby, and it's just not what a new person needs to hear. You know, if you're brand new, you want to hear as much as you can and absorb as much as you can, and then make your own decision on where you want to go. So that's my thoughts on it. So I'm all for digital. I'm not against it. I use it. It's not one of my favorite things to do, but it's something that I do, and I'll continue to use it.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm going to just throw this one little caveat in, because I can already hear the people yelling at our podcast at this very moment. Well, what about Echo Link? What about Echo Link? It's not really radio at all. It's not, you know, whatever. And I have a little quick story that I can throw in there, but like, what's your take on it? Are you guys still, you know, even when I mentioned the word Echo Link, you still feel the same, you know, in terms of, you know, what you just stated?
So when I first got my technician's license, I watched one of these guys said, first thing you need to do is get an Echo Link account. So I got an Echo Link account.
Wow.
And I had no idea even what it was. So the first I found a guy, and I thought it was the radio, and it was like his personal Echo Link account. And I called out, and he answered me, and he goes, you know, this is just my personal, like, I wasn't really on the radio because I was following all the ham radio rules. But then you go on and you get on repeaters. So I met a guy out in Phoenix who had a repeater that I was able to link into through Echolink. And this guy was all excited that I was calling from the East Coast his repeater. So him and I talked forever, like every day, like after work, I'd be like, all right, I'll be on tomorrow at 5:00. And awesome. I'd get on my phone. I think Echolink is good. It's just another form of technology. I mean, Eric, your dad's down at the Cape, and when we had Echolink hooked up to our net, he was able to join us from the net. I joined our net from St. John and the Virgin Islands using Echo Link, which is kind of cool. So, I'm not against it. I think it's kind of cool. I don't think it's the only thing I would do, but I think having the ability to use it is very beneficial.
Yeah,
I agree. And I do think it's getting a little bit, to me, it has a little bit of a flavor of like Windows XP. You know, it's getting a little dated.
But that's a hint for the developer. Try to redesign the interface there. Come on, catch up to the 21st century.
Yeah. So ever since I got some remote connectivity to my Shack radios and going through an app on the phone, I don't use Echo Link anymore. So it's I still have it, still have the account, but don't use it currently.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, you kind of stole my thunder there, Todd, about my dad. But in essence, I wholeheartedly agree. It's another mode for hams to be able to communicate, no matter whether or not they're picking up an HT or they're physically pressing a PTT button, you know, on a radio. It's important because, in essence, it's about communication. That's what we're all about, right? And so, whether we're communicating over the, you know, RF waves, or we're communicating RF waves to the internet, or just straight from our computer to another computer to come out on the other end on RF, it's still all radio, and it's still all fun, and it's still awesome to be having all of these available modes and be able to play in any one of them when we feel like it, no matter what. And I think as a technician, and if you're just trying to figure out where you're supposed to be and what you want to play with, start with Echo Link. Figure out what, you know, there, because again, it's a computer program. It's on your computer. You can load it up and you can be off to the races in a matter of, you know, minutes or half a day to get the account set up. But don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to the people that say, you know, poo-poo the, you know, it's not real ham radio. I think all of us agree that, you know, everything is ham radio as long as you're using your ham radio license to be able to communicate with another person, whether it's, you know, down the street or halfway around the world.
Well, I also don't think you can get Echo Link without a legal call sign.
Right.
Correct. Yeah, you can't log into it.
Yes.
Yep. So to use Echo Link, you have to have a license. So.
Yep.
But yeah, I, I think Echolink's best thing for it is really being, if you can connect it to the repeaters and people who want to join the nets. Like, let's say you're a, for an example, let's say that you're been a club member up here in New Hampshire for 20 years and you relocate to Florida and now you can't get on the net anymore. We do a daily net. You know, maybe you want to still talk to your buddies up there. Echolink's the way to do it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a good example, I'm that control operator once a month for a repeater down in Mass, and they have an Echolink node, and there are three or four people that check in from Florida, New York, and the Cape all through Echolink to check in, you know, with a simple, you know, I'm passing traffic or I have no traffic. That's, you know, what they do every week religiously, but that's how they do it, and it's awesome.
Very cool.
Awesome. All right. Well, hey, I think, you know, all of us, you know, our consensus is that, you know, if it's radio, whatever mode it is, don't be afraid. Get out there and try it. Play around with it. Find people that love the hobby and love every aspect of it. And, you know, just try it. Don't be afraid. If there's someone poo-poos you or gives you a hard time, just spin the dial, as they say. Find something new. Go to a different place. You eventually find your people. You'll eventually connect in. So if you're a technician, don't give up. You know, keep the course and, you know, continue to listen to us because, in essence, you know, we're here to support you. We want to be part of, you know, your growth and give you tips and tricks and anecdotal information all about the hobby because we all love it just as much as, you know, you as well and what it draws you into. You know, we want to continue to stoke the fires in that sense. So, you know, we'll wrap this up and we'll say, you know, we appreciate you. Obviously, thank you for being part of Live Free and Ham Pod. Again, we truly value your support. You know, we'd love to hear about your unique technician journey. Please share your experience on our Discord. You can find our link on our website. Please join it, contribute, you know, let us know what you think. You know, are digital modes great? Are they not? You know, what's your experience with them? Share with it. You know, let's continue to build that conversation and continue to, you know, share and learn from one another. And as always, you know, you can connect with us in the following ways. First one and foremost is visit our website, livefreeandham.com. You can always follow us at Instagram at livefreeandhampodcast. And then the last thing is you can always get in touch directly with our hosts. And you can do that obviously via my email address is n1jur.nh@gmail.com or n1jur.com.
Yep. Or you can contact Ryan at w1snh.com.
And my website is w1stj.com or my email is w1stj.nh@gmail.com.
All right. Well, hey, thank you again for listening to us. And for all of us at Live Free and Ham, 7-3.
7-3.